we try to prepare ourselves short term, real short term, prepare ourselves for an absorbing ...64-round day tomorrow. So, hopefully this will be some tools and some inspiration for a very absorbing 64-round day tomorrow. And then following 64-round day tomorrow, your, whatever your daily sadhana is, thereafter, in a life of, getting closer to Krishna through appreciation of His holy name, association with Krishna through His holy name. And we're taking some very substantial assistance from the giver of the holy name, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through His description of the wonders of the holy name, the glories of the holy name. So we'll chant the verse here.
Chaito darpana marchanam bhava mahadava grihirvapanam Shreya Bhairava chandrika vitaranam vidyavadu jivanam Anandam bodhi vardhanam pratipadam purnamritasvadanam Sarvatmasnapanam param vijayate Sri Krishna sankirtanam.
So far we've discussed 2 out of 7. 5 more to go. Cheta darpanam arjanam. The chanting of the holy name acts in such a manner that all the dust, the dirt, the straws and the sand and the contaminations of heart within our heart are cleansed away, including even the very root cause of our material existence, envy. Cheto darpana marjanam. And bhava maha davagni nirvapanam, the blazing forest fire of material existence. Repeated birth and death in such a place is extinguished. And we heard the paraphrased presentation that even being in the material atmosphere, which is itself a contaminating atmosphere, we're protected from that contaminating atmosphere. And we're protected from our residual tendencies to do those same things again in that contaminating atmosphere, if we take proper shelter of the holy name. Here's a nectar devotion quiz question. In Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 1, the title of the chapter is called Characteristics of Pure Devotional Service. And in that chapter, there are 6 items that are mentioned that are characteristics of pure devotional service. What are the first 2? Of those 6 characteristics of pure devotional service. Excuse me?
Auspiciousness.
At the beginning of all auspiciousness. The other one? Yeah. So what is it in English? It destroys all the miseries of material existence. So, in Sanskrit, it's easier, actually. Shubha, da. Shubha, dha. Dha means gives, and shubha means auspicious. The beginning of all auspiciousness. And klesha, gni. Klesha, we know too well what that means. It means sufferings, miseries. Adiyatmaka klesha, adidaivaka klesha, adibodhika klesha, or combination. In mixtures of kleshas, misery, sufferings. Gni, that syllable means destroys. So, Chaita Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadava Agni Nirvapanam is Klesha Gni. And the next one is Shubhada. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. Not only it Shubhada, but it keeps expanding and expanding, Vitaranam. And it is said by our acharyas that these first two of the six, they correspond to what we're doing, the stage of devotional service that we're in, which is called sadhana bhakti. The next two correspond with bhava bhakti, the next two correspond with prema bhakti. So even in the beginning, like us, these potencies are there. See you later. Much later. Like a few years later. I spent some time looking to see if the other four have a one-to-one correlation with Bhava Bhakti, Prema Bhakti, and not exactly, but for sure. Vidya Vadhu Jivanam, it's also part of Shubhadha. Okay, so Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. So let's start with the word Kairava, the white lotus. When in many cultures of the world, the lotus flower symbolizes something. What does it symbolize? Purity. Peace. Benediction giving. Like the two items for benediction giving. That in the hands of Lord Vishnu. What's meant for the devotees. The gada and the chakra are for the non-devotees. And for the devotees, the lotus and the conch. Like Lord Vishnu touched the head of Dhruva with his conch so that he could speak beautiful words in praise of Lord Vishnu, because that was his desire. He gave him that capacity, just touched his head with his conch. And the lotus gives benedictions, peace, purity, well-being. So, the lotus flower, like many flowers, the lotus flower has a pattern of opening and closing. At night, the lotus is closed. And in the morning, as the sun rises, it slowly opens. And then again, as the sun sets, it slowly closes. If you're a little visual like I am, I'll just share this little visual depiction. The first time I was with a group of devotees that Prabhupada had brought to Mayapur, it was a wonderful experience, and it was a challenging experience also, because the amenities weren't there. Like, you know, the way that we had for taking bath in the morning. Badahari, were you there? And Koshi Rupa, were you there for that? It was a, they had pumps, like hand pumps. So it was okay, first morning, because everyone got their bucket and took their bath, just, you know, poured water on their head right by the pump. But by the second day it was a sea of mud, and the third day it was a swamp. And, you know, to take a bath in a swamp that's all mud, it was uncomfortable. And then there are no screens in the windows, so, you know, when we got into our rooms, it was a den of mosquitoes. And many devotees didn't know what to eat and what to drink, and so many got dysentery and got malaria from the mosquitoes, and it was a very interesting experience. So, with one other devotee, you know, we got a little adventuresome and thought, because one of the places we visited was the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the place of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which is headquarters. And we were just kind of young brahmacharis wandering. I found a nice lake in the back of Bhaktisiddhanta's place, his headquarters. So early in the morning we went there, one other devotee, and we sat and just chanted the japa. There were no mosquitoes. I don't know why, but there weren't mosquitoes. And the lotuses were closed. So rather than a slow motion camera, it happened, those that have been in Mayapur, you know, the rising of the sun, it's spectacular, because it's just flat, and you can see, you know, darkness, and then little dawn, little light in the firmament, and then this huge orange glow showing just above the horizon. There's the sun rising. And it grows big and full, and then, and as the sun was rising, we were chanting japa and watching the lotus start to open. Really nice. And then we had to go back for the rest of the morning program. So we did that a couple of times. I wanted to go there for the evening, but I knew for sure as the sun would set, the opposite would happen. Opening and closing of the lotus. So this is the age of Kali, we're told. And in the age of Kali, it's an age of darkness. So the lotus is closed. The lotus of purity, the lotus of peace and tranquility and harmony and well-being. It's closed. But in the Chandrika, in the moonshine, in the light of the full moon, the lotus opens. Although it's not the sun, it's the moon. But in the full moon light, the lotus opens. And Vitaranam, the petals spread. So, Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. And that is a very special kind of, this verse is speaking of a very special kind of lotus, just like the lotus of the heart, the lotus of good fortune. Shreya. I'm not a Sanskrit scholar, but by hearing Prabhupada say certain words over and over again, I learned certain words. It's nice to not know the language and hear from Prabhupada. So, he taught Shreyas and Preyas. So, Shreyas means long-term benefit. Preyas means short-term benefit. And he would give the example. Like children, they like to play. And it's fine for children to play when it's 5 years old. Their parents say, okay, now it's time to go to school. And they say, I want to play. Then the parents have to explain to them. That's short-term happiness. But one day, believe it or not, you'll grow up. And when you grow up, then you'll have to live a life of responsibility. So you have to defer some of that short-term prayas for some long-term shreyas. You have to go to school. Now, some kids like going to school, some kids just like to play. But Shreyas is long-term benefit. And then there's Shreya Uttama, ultimate long-term benefit, the real interest of the soul. So it's just shortened. The long-term ultimate benefit of the soul, Shreya Uttama, is awakened by the chanting of the holy name. And it acts like the white lotus expanding in the full moonlight. The white lotus of good fortune expands through the chanting of the holy name. Shubhada. And what is that shubha, good fortune? What is that Shreya Uttama? It's our dormant propensity for serving Krishna very happily. Most of us, or at least many of us, of course, we're constitutionally servants. That means we're serving someone. Like it or not, we're serving someone because we're constitutionally servants. Some of us never thought about serving God. We may have thought of praying to God or asking God for things. But serving God wasn't really something many of us thought about so much. But from chanting, we're hearing it from Bhagavad Gita and from our scriptures and from the teachers of those scriptures. But it's embedded right within the holy name, that the potency for awakening that Shreya Uttama, the dormant propensity for serving Krishna. A little detour, but it's nice, is Jiva Goswami's explanation of the chanting of the holy name. He describes the position of those who are non-devotees and those that are devotees. Yeah. Those that are devotees, they're transcendentalists. And then those that are not yet devotees, they're in different categories. But the stage that comes just before the transcendental stage, it's karma yoga. They just like to serve. I'm sure in the temple that you come from, wherever that may be, or temples that you've been in, you know some people like this. They're not sadhakas. They're not, where's the kirtan? Or where's my feedback? But they like to do some service. Serve out the prasadam, clean up after the Sunday feast. Some like to do landscaping. Some like to do this. Some like to do that. And they like to do it. They come and they, that's their contribution. Their happiness is doing that. And that's a very good qualification. Especially when they're around devotees, because devotees are engaged in chanting. So they'll hear chanting while they're in that association. There's one person in our congregation in New Jersey. He's a landscaper. And he likes serving Krishna. So it's to the best of my experience, a very nice example of karma yoga. He didn't chant, but he liked the devotees and he liked landscaping. That was a dovetail for him. He would come on the weekends. He had a truck with all the landscaping stuff. And boy, do they need landscaping. So he would mow the lawn and trim the hedges and make the place look nice. And he was, boy, did the devotees appreciate. We really needed this work. And so he was really happy to get that encouragement from the devotees. And of course, they gave him some prasadam. Because everybody liked prasadam. And, then he gradually would, after coming regularly, he would, even when nobody was around, he'd go in the temple room before the deities and peacefully just
have darshan of the deities. Sit down, didn't chant, just he felt peaceful being in the presence of the deities. And then slowly, slowly, left prasadam, left devotional service and purification. He started chanting. And he I don't think he ever got initiated, but he was, you know, he became a sadhaka through that process of basically karma yoga, doing his work for Krishna. Nice. There's other examples. People, different places where there's emphasis on service. It's strongly emphasized. It's not like, some compulsion or something. It's an opportunity. And so, someone else may not have a tendency to do service, and they like kirtan. So, but give them, show them a broom or the pot sink, and oh no, I just do kirtan. Our temple managers, they know, they're smiling, they know that disposition. But a sign that the chanting is going in is liking to serve. Of course, chanting itself is a form of service, but the principle of awakening the tendency to serve, it's awakened when one is properly hearing and chanting. So just, one can just go on in the kirtan and take prasad, and maybe one day those nice devotees will also want to do some other kind of service. I could go further with it, but I won't. So here's the line. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. The Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would chant from morning till night, and here's the moon and the sky, and the continuing the kirtan. So the kirtan, or japa, either way, acts as a spreading of the rays of the benediction moon. Or the paraphrased translation, chanting awakens pure devotion to Krishna, which is the soul's dormant propensity to serve the Lord with love. That's the Shreya, or Shreya Uttama. And from that propensity to serve the Lord with love, further chanting revives the loving devotion that qualifies one for the greatest good fortune, Krishna's association. I remember as a very new devotee at the university that I attended, this was 1969, you know, the counterculture days, the hippie days. There was one girl that came with hair practically down to the floor and always on a few varieties of different intoxications of LSD and the different things, and she really liked kirtan. You know, she would like roll her head and you sit down for class and wonder what planet she's on. And she'd always ask the same question, when will I see Krishna? And she always got the same answer, just keep chanting. So the good fortune, the greatest good fortune, is the dormant propensity of the soul to serve Krishna awakening to the point where one becomes so qualified, and one's qualified for Krishna's association. We're getting Krishna's association immediately just by chanting. That's in the verse of Rupa Goswami. So in chanting, one experiences Krishna within one's mouth through the sound. One desires many, many mouths. So continue chanting. And to continue the purification process, and that greatest good fortune will come. But even from the very beginning, in the sadhana stage, this Shubhadha, this Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vidharanam, it expands and expands just from the practice of chanting. Again, please remember how we regard something will be very different. We regard something in a very, very appreciative way. We'll interact with that something differently, then we don't have the same quality of appreciation. This is to help enhance our going beyond mechanical chanting. Then, vidya vadhu jivanam. So, vidya, this is the fruit of all education comes just from chanting. And not only the fruit of all education, the life of that fruit of all education comes from chanting. And we'll spend a little bit of time with this vadhu part. It's poetic, it's very nice. But it's more than poetic, it's what's going on. But we have a very nice verse. Many of you know the verse from Canto 1, Chapter 2, where Sutta Goswami is describing, in summary, the process of devotional service, where knowledge and detachment causelessly arise from devotional service. Who knows the verse? Loud. So, from Vasudeva Bhagavati, devotional service unto Vasudeva, that's Krishna. He's the son of Vasudeva, so he's Vasudeva. Vasudeva Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga, Prajojitaha. These two things happen. Jani Achu Ashu Vairagyam, detachment, and Gyanam Cha, Yad Ahai to come. Causelessly they're awakened, just through devotional service. And devotional service begins with hearing and chanting. So do your hearing and chanting, and vidya vadhu jivanam, causelessly. Because Bhakti Devi, who is Bhakti Devi, by the way? Who is Bhakti Devi? We say, Bhakti Devi ki jai. Who's Bhakti Devi? Radharani. Radharani? Anyone disagree? The expansion of Radharani, the pleasure potency, because Radharani bestows devotional service. By her expansion, Bhakti Devi, we are engaged in devotional service by the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And that devotional service puts us in touch with the internal potency. So, in explaining this part of the verse in his Shikshastakam commentary, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a very lengthy explanation of the Lord's Swarup Shakti. Swarup Shakti means what? Hello? Swarup Shakti. Swarupa. His internal potency, his own potency. The Lord's own potency. Swarup Shakti. So, through the agency of his own potency, so Krishna is there in his holy name, and so his Swarup Shakti is also there in his holy name, because he's always with his Swarup Shakti, Srimati Radharani. And that Swarup Shakti, by being present with Krishna, when contacting the living entity, the natural quality of the living entity, like the previous verse, their natural quality of desiring to serve Krishna awakens. And when your desire to serve Krishna awakens, janiyate ashu vairagyam jnanam chaya dahaisupam. Knowledge causelessly awakens through contact with the holy name. Supposing somebody's not very scholarly. There's lots of devotees that aren't so very scholarly. No problem. You don't have to be very scholarly to be a devotee. You have to have a desire to become purified through the chanting of the holy name, through chanting of the holy name. So many understandings come. It's surprising to the devotees, those understandings that come. Like a common experience that I've had is, say a new devotee is asked to give class, and like, oh my God, I can't give class, I'm just a new devotee. But then they're put in a situation where they're going book distribution. Maybe some of you have had this experience. And people start asking questions, and all of a sudden you're giving answers that you didn't even remember that you knew. Yes? Had that experience? You meet a guest at the Sunday feast, and they're asking, you know, this and that and the other thing, and you don't even know where it's coming from, but things that you heard come out, because when? So it can come out. And Super Soul is assisting you to give that, because it's in the mood of service, it's not mood of, I'm a good speaker, I'm going to tell them all about Krishna. Not like that. It's service. And then, so many wonderful things happen by the mercy of your being engaged in that circumstance by the internal potency, the mood of serving. And so, that's the Sankirtan movement. It's the life of transcendental knowledge. One who is doing that is situated in the life of transcendental. Transcendental knowledge doesn't just go on a shelf or in your information basket. It is something that you live. And the chanting of the holy name carries that potency that infuses the soul with the propensity or the capacity to live the message of devotional service. So that Swarup Shakti, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, is the wife. Krishna's the father, and the Swarup Shakti is his wife. And the Swarup Shakti awakens the knowledge and gives devotional service, both, to the living entity. Or there's another explanation that's sometimes given, commonly given. It goes, you know, one of those, yata tata, as this, so that. So as a wife, good wife, speaks pleasing words and encouraging words to her husband, and hearing the encouraging words from a good wife, the husband feels encouraged and he feels enlivened to carry on in his duties as the husband, serving the wife and family and his, you know, Krishna conscious activities. Similarly, when one is chanting, meaning chanting properly, there are things that happen. We all have this experience. I'm sure we all have this experience that when you're the more that you become absorbed in chanting attentively, something happens. There's this experience that you're just being lifted by something. And it's not you, it's something. It's the potency of Krishna. Specifically, it's the Swarup Shakti of Krishna, or it's the Vidyavadhu Jivanam effect of the chanting of the holy name. The life of, literally this means the life of the wife of transcendental knowledge. Or the life of the wife of all education, all knowledge. You may not understand all of what's going on, but that's what's going on. The internal potency of Krishna is picking you up and giving you out of the darkness into light or into a position of understanding things in a way that you don't ordinarily understand things by the association with the holy name. Very enlivening. It's the gift of the holy name. That potency is there in the holy name. Let me enthusiastically chant the holy name. Let me try to absorb my consciousness while chanting in the holy name. Because this is one of the wonders of the holy name. So vidya bhava jivanam. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge, just like Arupa and Sanatana Goswami's pictured here. They not only wrote books and studied books, they certainly engaged in chanting the holy name. And through the chanting of the holy name, as well as Lord Chaitanya's association, they had empowerment to give to the world volumes and volumes of very deep and uplifting teachings. So this is presented in the summary way. As a result of acquiring devotion, is that the devotee becomes illuminated with spiritual knowledge. Further chanting matures that knowledge into realization, which in time reveals the devotee's original position in one of the five relationships with Krishna. Oh, that's really up there, one of the five relationships with Krishna. I can't understand all of that. So just keep chanting. Don't worry, don't speculate your brain out about, you know, that this and that, because that's not how you'll understand anyway. By purity you'll understand. It'll be revealed by vidya bhadhu jivanam, this wonder of the chanting of the holy name done properly, carefully, attentively. And then ananda ambudhi vardhanam. Ambudhi means ocean. And it's a very special kind of ocean. It's an ocean of ananda. And ananda is one of the natural qualities of the soul. Satchit ananda, just as it's a quality of Krishna. And as the natural quality of the soul becomes awakened in all of these nice ways, the tendency for serving Krishna is awakened, Shreya Kaiva Chandrika, Vidharanam. The uplifting enlivenment of the soul in proper knowledge is experienced. It's a very, not just liberation in the Sayuja kind of liberation, but the blissful position of the soul, endlessly, happily serving Krishna. It's an ocean of bliss, and it's an ocean that just keeps expanding. You'll drown in an ocean that just keeps expanding and expanding and expanding. You'll drown in that ocean, no problem. The ocean of ananda. Ananda buddhi vardhanam. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. As much as the heart is relieved from unwanted habits, kleshadhi, to that degree we become devoted to Krishna, Shubhada and Shreya Kaira Chandrika. As much as devotion is firmly fixed in our hearts, to that degree we require realized knowledge. And as much as the heart is illuminated by both devotion and knowledge, to that degree we taste spiritual happiness. In this way, the ocean of bliss swells. What's next? Pratipadam purnam amrita asvadanam. Pratipadam, at every step. Purna amrita, the full nectar. Asvadanam. We're given a taste of the full nectar at every step. The soul is hankering for a happiness, ananda, that's unending. That's very simple to understand. Everyone wants to be happy, and we don't like the other kind, the unhappiness. So material life is trying to minimize the unhappiness and maximize the happiness. But because it's in the material plane, it's unending. Even if we receive some of the happiness, it's not real happiness, so we want something more or other, or combination. So we just,
when I was a little boy, once upon a time I was a little boy, and one of the stories that I read, I think it was Little Black Sambo, and one of the parts of Little Black Sambo was a tiger that chased his tail around a tree. And he was always chasing his tail around the tree, and he just chased it so many times he turned into butter. That Little Black Sambo, if anyone else read that one. Anyway. It's like that. The seeking happiness in material life, you never get it. Like, you know, because it's his own tail. As he moves this way, his tail is moving further and further and further, never catches his tail. And even if he were to catch his tail, it takes a chomp. It's his own tail. Ouch. There's no happiness in seeking happiness in material life.